Hi, I'm Janice Cruz, and you're listening to the Self Love Science Podcast. Today, I want to talk about being worthy of sunshine. One of the things that I love about self love is this joy that is beaming and radiating out from beneath my skin. It feels on many days like my spirit can barely be contained inside. It's like always trying to break out and be a part of the big world and be around people and share my sunshine. And I think when it comes down to it, the part of self-love that if I could capture the essence of it all and give it out to the world, it would be this part. It would be this feeling of the magnitude that we all are, the experience and the sensation of your soul, your essence, your power, your excitement, whatever you want to call it. Label it whatever fits your worldview. It feels like you are going to explode out into the world. Like you could just burst at the seams and spread this positivity and this love everywhere, all over the world. It is the best feeling. It is the feeling that I am always able to come back to. It is the permanent state that I live in. Now, it is not a 100% consistent state that I am in all the time, but it is my homeostasis. Homeostasis is your balanced center. It is the place that you will always come back to. So right now, if you are not there yet in the self-love journey, your homeostasis may be something like anger. Perhaps you find that daily, or as often as you can think of, you always feel angry. Or maybe you always feel sad. Perhaps your current homeostasis is a depressive state, a state of shame or self-loathing or guilt. It is nothing more than the flavor of your center, if you will. It is the muscle that your spiritual positioning system has worked out the most. If you always feel sadness, it is because your sadness muscle, the response mechanism that you have to your outside stimuli, is consistently sadness. It's what you know how to do best. And so you will live in that state. And the worldview, the experience of it is, I am always sad. That's the thoughts you're going to have. Perhaps your thoughts come in the form of questions such as, why won't things get better? Is it always going to be like this? Is it possible for me to feel happy? Or maybe more like as an absolute, the statement might be more like an absolute. It's impossible for me to be happy. Language matters. So my homeostasis went from, I often reference the Dr. David Hawkins scale of consciousness, and the lowest level is where I started. The lowest level on the scale of consciousness is shame. And that is where I lived in. Shame, guilt, self-loathing. I hated my existence. And it was not a horrific existence, you know? I was living an average life. But I was very far from myself. That is the most important element when talking about your sunshine. When you are in the state of self-loathing and shame and guilt and these contracting emotions that make you want to close in on yourself, at that point, what I have discovered is that that occurs because you are as far away from your true self as humanly possible. You are absolutely not you. And the varying degrees of reasons why that happen is the part to be worked through. But the idea is that if you hate yourself, if you hate your life, it is because the life that you are living, the self that you are presenting to the world, is as far away from who you truly are as possible. And I talk about clearing the mirror in another episode. So if you want more depth of that conversation, what I say is that if you look in the mirror and you don't think that you are absolutely amazing, it is because you do not see yourself. There are too many layers on top of you. One layer of not good enough, one layer of your life experience, one layer of your, your intersectionality, your demographics, your ethnicity, your culture, how you grew up, your financial circumstances, all those things, your life experiences, your trauma, your beliefs. Those are all the layers covering you from seeing yourself. Because if you could see yourself like the spirit that is radiating out, you would have no choice but to love yourself, because you would see that everything you had been through was necessary for you to get the lessons that you're meant to learn, to grow in the ways that you're meant to grow, to become the person that you are. And perhaps you are on track, you're on the journey, and maybe the person you see today is not what you want to be looking at in the mirror. But you don't need to change that you exist. You need to change perhaps your surroundings sometimes, not all the times. Perhaps who you are interacting with. I think many of the times that is a solution. And your language patterns. They have by far the most control over how you perceive yourself. I did affirmations. You can call it something else if it's a trigger word. I looked in the mirror every day, and before I ever believed it, I said, I loved myself. I love myself. I am love. I am worthy and deserving of love. And I said it enough times that one day I started repeating the sentence and I was like, well, that's true. You know, I'd say I'm very creative and talented. And I'd say one time, I was like, well, that's true. Like, I'm a poet. So that is creative. I like building things. So that is very creative. And little by little, the beliefs, I accepted them. They were beliefs about myself that I desired to have. They were the opposing beliefs of what I had at the time believed about myself. I looked in the mirror and said, I am Frankenstein. This is a true thing I used to say to myself as a new mother. If you have had children, then you know that who you are before a child looks different. And I used to look at myself in the mirror and be like, I look like Frankenstein. I'm disgusting. I felt dull and my skin was gray and my hair was just, you know, frizzing and bland, and like everything about me, there was just no time to pour back into my own vessel. And now I look in the mirror and I'm like, damn, girl, you look good today. And if I don't feel it when I look in the mirror, I'll go and pull a hat off the shelf and put it on and be like, now there she goes. I'll do a little bit of makeup. I like makeup, you know, or a little bit of lipstick or some earrings. I will do the things so that I'm like, ah, there she is, you know? There's the self. the fully expressed self, sunshine. And I choose to use the term sunshine. And this came from one day. So my journey had to do with healing from cancer. So a lot of my stories are surrounding like the journey that I went on while I was in this frantic state of trying to heal. And one of the things I learned was about vitamin D deficiency and how a lot of illness, like you have probably heard this now as it relates to the pandemic and COVID-19 and vitamin D deficiency. And they're saying, take vitamin D, right? So one of my holistic practitioners was like, get some sun, girl, like go lay in the pool, show some skin. Now, before that, I was only living this life of like working, taking care of my household, taking care of my child and the people that lived in my house. And there was no room for me to breathe. So laying in a pool by myself was like, I mean, it was a luxury that I had not awarded myself in, I don't even know, years. And I remember laying in this pool thinking like, how cool would it be if I got so much sun that my vitamin D restored itself and then I healed, you know, from everything. And I remember thinking, oh man, like you're not worthy of healing from sunshine, you know, like that's stupid. What could sunshine heal? Little did I know how much sunshine heals. And I wrote something down in a notebook. I wrote, worthy of sunshine. And that is an affirmation. I am worthy of sunshine. But it became, this isn't an affirmation that I used, but it became that it isn't that I am worthy of sunshine. It is that I am the sunshine. I feel now that I have uncovered my true self, that when I walk into a room, I am radiating love out around me. I have the like desire, the purpose, the intention that any person who gets close enough to me will feel it somehow, that somehow we have the power to radiate out our internal joy. And that people walk past, and whether they can recognize it or not, they can sense that energy. Here's a couple sciencey things. I look at this the same way I look at instincts. And I always use the same example of if there is a gazelle grazing somewhere in the Serengeti and a lion comes up near him. Perhaps he does not hear the lion's paw cracking a twig beneath it. Perhaps he does not hear any sound of even the breathing of this lion. But somehow, he still shoots his head up and runs away because he can sense that there is danger. Have you ever walked next to a person and everything inside of you fires off telling you that that person is dangerous? I've had two experiences in my life that stand out. And I cannot remember the location where I was, only that a person walked past me and everything inside of me knew without a shadow of a doubt that that person is dangerous, quite possibly the most dangerous person I had ever stood near, right? It wasn't their communication. I don't even know that it was their body language. It was like something happened and you just feel this intense sensation. And I know that evolutionarily we've adapted to like read signals, right? It's part of survival. If somebody is smiling, you know that they are friendly. If somebody has, you know, like a snarl on their face, you know that that is, you know, not a friend, that is a foe. Body language is going to let you know if you're about to enter a battle or if somebody is welcoming. And so I have accepted or adopted the term empath for myself based on my understanding of myself and my experience of the world, and now knowing that not everybody has this experience. I think that the muscle that I have worked strongly is perceiving the energy of others, recognizing through whatever various factors, I am sure people's facial expressions, their body language, and some of the energy, perhaps we don't have exceptional like tools in science or medicine right now during my lifetime that we can understand those energies. But they do exist. And I am sure in 50 years, people will look back, or 100 years, and say, we are so archaic that we could not recognize how easy it is. Like, energy is constantly transferring and I can perceive it. And there's like this term empath, right? Like you can feel what others are feeling. That has always been my experience of life. And as a human being, I think sometimes we just assume that our experience is exactly what everybody else is experiencing. When I come across narcissists, the idea that a person exists that is polar opposite of me, that, or like I get somewhat a little bit of sociopathy, like I just watched something recently. But the inability to experience empathy, and that narcissism is that it is not that they cannot experience empathy, but that they choose not to experience empathy. My existence is so deeply enmeshed in feeling what others feel, so much so that I will put my feelings aside because I can just feel how shitty an experience is for another person. And so recently, I started taking on a challenge. Like for me, my next growth level, the next evolution for me is to work at, if we can read the energy of others, can we radiate it out? You ever walk home, you're pissed off at your boyfriend, and as soon as you walk in the room, he's like, oh. He hasn't even looked at you yet. He just knows. Not because you're stomping your feet, not because of anything you said. You can just feel it in the room, right? And now I'm like, how do you radiate that out? Well, number one, you gotta have it in you. And we all do. That's the secret. That's the cheat code. We all have it. But mine is uncovered. I uncover the layers by doing trauma work, by healing, by doing forgiveness work, increasing my positive emotions, speaking up for myself, living in authentic expression. All of those things were part of the journey that allow my internal state to be this like extreme joy, this sunshine, this love energy. Love is coursing through my body. It is beaming on every single edge of my frame, and it's so big, I'm like, I need to spread it out in the world. And so now, when I walk in a room, I set an intention that I will radiate love out into that room. I set the intention that I will be the possibility of something. Love, excitement, thrill, exhilaration, authenticity. Everything that I have inside of me is a gift that I have, that I learned, that I worked to create. And they are gifts that I want to give the world. The sunshine that is inside of me, the love that is inside of me, is something that I would wish on everyone. I have heard so many times people say of the pain that they experience, I would not wish this on my worst enemy. And it is a statement that really does capture how horrible someone's experience must be for them to say that even if I hated someone with everything in me, I would not wish for them to know this pain because it is so horrible. And I have lived that. I have felt that. And now I wish for everyone on earth to know what it's like to be this expression. I would love for people to come to me and say, I listened to what you told me. I did what you told me to do. And I looked in the mirror, and for the first time in my whole life, I felt love that I had never known existed. I felt something so incredible, so amazing. I didn't know that it was possible. I didn't know love like this existed in the world. I would wish this on my worst enemy and my best friend and strangers and heroes and villains. If everybody in the world could feel how I feel even for just 1 minute, if it was the same minute, there would be peace on earth. There would be 1 minute where nobody cried, where nobody felt pain, where no one felt hurt, if that were possible. Here's something that I learned. I will equate this to what we are all now familiar with as a pandemic that spread all around the entire planet Earth. For the first time in human history, we collectively shared an experience on every single inch of Earth. Whether the experience was a direct connection to the virus, or that you were not getting the virus, that your city was being overrun, or that your city didn't experience it, we all were connected on a single subject. And we live in a time where we can now share this information across the world. And we can see it from the most vast number of perspectives ever possible. Everyone can pick up their phone and share their life experience. And we did, about the same subject. In close proximity, in villages and in cities, people shared something that we did not care to share, right? If you get close to someone with a virus, you can catch the virus, right? And then that spreads to others, and then that spreads to others, and that spreads to others. That is the concept, right? That is the, is it a metaphor or is it a simile? I literally got a degree in English, And I took a class called Modern English Grammar, and I still would have to Google some of these terms. Doesn't matter. Emotions work the same. This is the way that I look at it. Your emotion, perhaps your emotion is anger. Imagine you have a little ball of anger in front of you. And you walked up to someone and forget any semantics, forget the details, forget the minutia. You just throw the anger at them. That person catches it, and then they have a choice. They're going to just let it go. Say, hey, that guy's having a bad day, but not me. That's the equivalent of dropping that emotion. Let's say someone throws this anger ball again at another person. That person grabs it and they ingest it. That is the foundation. You either drop it, dodge it, ignore it, whatever, or you ingest it. You now have this ball of anger. You walk up to the next person and you have a choice of passing it on to them and they can accept or deny. Trauma comes when this ball of emotions, anger, sadness, loathing, guilt, shame, horror, terror, whatever. Trauma comes when it is forced on you. Somebody takes this ball of anger, this emotional state, and forces it on you. And the varying degrees of what that means, apply it to your own experience. And now, for every person that receives that anger, that ingests it, it multiplies when they go into the world and pass it to others, passively or actively. Perhaps you have a hard day at work, you receive the anger from your boss, and then you yell at your kid. I am saying that because I'm guilty of being stressed out at work. My child is minding their damn business, comes to me, needs something, I'm in a meeting, and I say, how many times do I tell you, when I'm in a meeting, you need to wait patiently over there and play with your toys? What I did is I received the anger or the stress and I passed it on. Now, as a child, she doesn't get to choose. She's just like, oh, ingesting, right? As children, we just take it on. And then as adults, we have to do the work of removing every one of these emotional, it's really hard for me to say balls. So I'm trying to think of a different way, but I already used the ball metaphor. You have a little orb. Let's call it an orb. Okay. You have an anger orb. And they multiply like a virus. And all throughout Earth, these orbs of anger, sadness, guilt, shame, pain, self-loathing are passed on and multiplied. When you ingest it, there is an infinite supply of it, right? You ingest it and you have some choices. You can either leave it there, let it grow, pass it on to others, or, and here's my suggestion, find a way to heal it. I had this dream once. I started listening to the Silva Method of Mind Control with Jose Silva. And part of this book, this I'm listening to an audiobook, is utilizing your dreams to send you messages. So every night when you dream, this is a technique that I've been doing for 2 years. And so I am not saying this as a woo-woo metaphysical far out there sort of concept. I'm saying this is a practice that works. Much like visualization, which is your active conscious waking state of seeing something, and you can work through your issues and you can get clarity, you can get insight by sitting and meditating, right? Meditation is super acceptable now, right? Like my job has given all the employees a free subscription to one of those like meditation apps, right? Widely acceptable, socially acceptable. You're allowed to say meditation in conversation now. If I were to say I use my dreams to solve problems, that one may not be as widely accepted. However, receive this. Okay, this works. I've been doing it for 2 years. I use my dreams to solve problems. And the Silva method, I'm not going to outline it. I'm not going to give the super step by step, but here is the gist of it. You have a 3-2-1 countdown. So you're laying in bed, you're getting ready to go to sleep, you're in a calm state, and you count down, you breathe in, and you count down 3-3-3, breathe in, 2-2-2, breathe in, 1-1-1, right? On the exhale, you're counting. And then I really recommend to read the book or to watch videos, like a more in-depth version of this than what I'm giving you, because it is really incredible. And then you visualize like a screen in front of you with your eyes angled up, and you're visualizing the numbers, right? And you just say, tonight I'm going to have a dream. And when I wake up, I will remember the dream and I'll know what it means. That is the most simple foundational way. That is the ABCs of using your dreams to solve problems. I could do an entire episode about dream problem solving, because I have found so many insights. Your brain's always working through issues. You ever like have a dream about somebody you care about getting hurt, and you wake up and you feel that emotional surge of, oh my gosh, I just dreamed that, you know, my sibling or my parent or somebody that I really love got hurt, and you feel overwhelmed and you're like crying and you're like, I need to reach out to them. Your brain's like, yeah, that's somebody I really love. And should that person not be here, I would be in a lot of pain. That's your kind of worrying mechanism. Your brain is just running through some programming. So this is like setting an intention of having a specific program to run through. And so I had a dream. Okay. And this was very early on during the time where I was healing. And these little orbs that I am talking about of anger and pain, one by one, I was removing them and looking at them and saying, wait a minute. Is this my pain? I got upset about something, and I remember being like, am I upset about this? Does that bother me? And the reason I had that thought is because I was like, where did I learn to be pissed off about this? And I thought about it, I was like, I don't think that thing bothers me. And it was kind of like vroom, bringing this orb out and looking at it and saying, oh, somebody was pissed about that once. And they either got pissed at me for doing it, and then now I get pissed at others for doing it, or they taught me that I should be pissed at someone else for doing that, right? So I was looking at anger, and I had a dream, right? And you know, dreams are like all this weird stuff, but this is like solid. So I had a dream that I was I'm certain this is around the time where there were protests happening, and the digital civil war is how I refer to it, when we were all first in lockdown and there was a civil unrest happening and we were all witnessing it online. We were all home. We had nothing better to do but to be paying attention to what was going on in the news and social media, right? So in the dream, I was standing outside of an apartment, like on the other side of gates. You know, there's gates that whatever, there's gates in front of an apartment, and there was like police running in, and it was dark, and there was a lot of chaos happening. And in this dream, I went into this apartment and my friend was like, I've got to go to work. So I was in the apartment with her daughter and I was in there with my daughter. And I'm in this dark gray space. It's scary in there. I could feel the urgency. I could feel the unrest of what was happening. And I start looking around this apartment and I go under like the sink and I bring out this big glowing orb. It looked, to be honest with you, like a pomegranate seed because it was like kind of this like clear, it looked like a big ass pomegranate seed. And I held it in my hands and I knew what I was looking at was anger that had been hiding inside of this home. And I tried to destroy it. I tried to break it. I tried to cut it. I tried to beat it down. And it didn't work. And then I said, oh, I'm supposed to love this back to health. And it was a seed of anger that had been planted inside of me. And in my dream, I recognized I had been angry my whole life, but it was not my own anger. If somebody hurts me and I have been hurt, that person placed their anger on me and I just, whoom, like a bullet, just received it. I didn't know that there were other choices. I didn't know that I did not have to receive their anger. And that, and what I learned in this dream is that your anger, your pain, you cannot beat it with more anger and more pain. You must love yourself back to health. During that period, we'll call these the emotion orbs, I removed all of the emotions that were force placed on me. All the hurt that people had been going through that then hurt me. And I forgave myself for the times that I took those hurt orbs, those pain emotions and forced them on others. Because of course I did that as well. People hurt me. I remember being like in my 20s and someone breaking my heart so bad and destroying me. And the pain so fierce, it was unlike any other heartbreak, unlike any other pain. It split me open and made me raw. And my response to it, I had a choice. And you know what I chose to do? In this early state of a person who was in pain and didn't know any better. And I grew up in the ghetto. You don't talk about healing when you're in the hood. You don't talk about trauma unless you're just like, that's life. I went out in the world and I intentionally hurt other people's feelings. Like a boy hurt my feelings and I went in the world and I was like, I am going to destroy a couple men while I'm out here in these streets. I'm going to whatever, you know, not commit to people, not call them back and all this shit. And now I know that when someone hurts me, when I experience pain and hurt from another person, it is that is what they are carrying. And so that is what they are offering in the world. And I have a choice to accept it or let it go. And let me tell you something about my sunshine. When I receive pain now, and I do, like I said, I am this empath. I feel it so deeply. I've said to people, I experience emotions so strongly, so intensely. I feel everything. I intentionally will not prevent myself from feeling pain. If I feel hurt, I cry because I want that shit out of my body. And what I have learned about the pain of others is that people will stand in your sunshine to thaw their icy little selves out, and they will use you for, you know, serving their needs, to have a moment of peace or to get out of their own shit for a moment, right? But I'm actually okay with it now because I will always come back to being healthy, happy, and whole. I will always come back to the state of joy. See, if I pass anger out in the other world, the other people might live with it until they die. The hurt that I put out into the world may never find its place where it can dissolve. But in here, when you are healed, when you have self-love, when you are whole, hurt comes into you and you love that shit back to health, and it stops here. When I was hurt recently, my first instinct was, oh, I want to go run out and I want to hurt too. And I'm saying that as a blanket statement, like the details of it are irrelevant. This is like the generic, I am angry, I want to go spread anger in the world, right? But I already had the tools. Number one, the education. I challenge you to believe me if you don't. I challenge you to say, you know what? My beliefs don't align with what she's saying. But what if she's right? What if there is some truth in there? And ask yourself a question that will allow your brain to receive an answer that is different from what you're thinking now. The pain that comes in here, it stops here. Because my sunshine inside is so bright, it destroys darkness. Your language matters. The thoughts you think in here matter. The next thing is I created what I call 1 inch of space. So I looked at, like, well, if I'm an empath and I can experience emotion, and now I'm practicing radiating emotions out, can I have a shield? I don't always want to feel what other people are feeling. Damn it. Sometimes I need a break from feeling the issues of others, but I want people who I love that like to complain or like to vent, I still want them to be able to talk to me without me feeling drained. So I create 1 inch of space from my soul to everything they're saying. So like if they're coming at me and they're saying, I had a hard day, I had a bad day, things are not going well, I remind myself, if I feel anxious, it's not my anxiety. It's a little anxiety orb coming at me. You just like fruit ninja, like chop it down, stop it. If someone is angry, I don't care what the circumstances are, and I feel it, I go, oh, that's not my anger. That's a little anger orb coming at me. 1 inch of space is all the space you need, where it's like, I feel it. I can kind of see it coming here, but I'm just going to let it sort of bounce right back off a little bit. And I'm working on it. I'm working on that becoming like a much bigger, stronger muscle of mine. And heal. Be intentional. Decide. Like we've heard break the cycle, right? We've heard it with drug abuse, alcoholism, physical abuse, child abuse, where just because it happened to you doesn't mean that you perpetuate it. And it's just like this blanket statement, right? But what is in there? How do you break the cycle? You heal from what you have been through, so that you can have so much sunshine inside of you that no matter what comes at you, Even if it hurts in the moment. Even if it hurts in a moment. And you need to go down a couple days and cry in your bed because the world was unkind to you. It will die in there. That seed will not grow into anything. The seeds of hope and love and joy, let those grow. Even if something bad has happened to you, perhaps what happened to you is so horrible that there is no way to rid yourself of it all the way. But is it possible that if the seed of hurt must reside within you, that you just stop watering it? And that you cut all the roots from it, and that you let it dry out and wither away, so that even if it has to stay in there because of the depth of pain that it is, stop it from growing. Every thought you pour into it is a drop of water on it. Every time you relive it, it is giving it roots. It is nurturing the pain. Perhaps the seed is so big. The weeds have overtaken so much that part of what you need to do is create a seed of joy so big that that seed of pain must forever live in a shadow. Or perhaps, no, even better, the seed of pain gets fried to a crisp by the blazing sunshine that you are. There are many healing modalities, and I will always come back to the same one because this is what healed me. Write it down. Go into a journal and write down a letter to the person that hurt you. Perhaps the person that hurt you is yourself. And forgive. Forgive does not equal condone. Forgive does not equal that it is okay. Forgive is stopping the life from flowing into that thing. Forgiveness is cutting the seed of pain off from water and from anything that you have invested in it. Perhaps the pain that you received from someone is one that you have been burdened with holding on to. Allow the seed then to wither away inside of you. Not you wither away. If you're in pain, that's what's been happening. If you're in pain, you're like destroying the whole garden to get rid of one weed. You are worthy of the sunshine that will beam from within you. As you heal, the sunshine is healing you. The joy, the love, the peace, the happiness heals you, and then it is yours. It is yours now. It is yours now. In the moment that you accept it, your affirmation for the day, look in the mirror and say, I am worthy of sunshine. I am sunshine. Sunshine radiates out from me onto the world. No seeds of sadness can survive in this lush garden of joy. I wish this joy on the world. I wish for your happiness to be so bright that one day I walk into a room and feel the magnetic energy. And I look across and say, you, something about you is really bright. Maybe I never get to meet you in a room, but people will see you. I promise you that. I promise. I am confident in my understanding of love. That as you begin to shine and radiate, people around you will feel that sunshine. And one day you will have so much that seeds of sadness will come to you to be loved back to health. I'm having this thought right now, and I had not had it before, and I want to say it in the moment that it comes to me, that I've recently received the gift of someone has passed me their orb of pain, and within me, I have loved it back to health. It stops here. I will not perpetuate it because I love myself too much. And I know that the world needs more of this. There are enough people passing the pain on, and the joy will get passed on. And then those people pass it on. And then those people pass it on. And it spreads around the earth with the same fierceness, with the same force that we have witnessed things that harm us. The world needs more healing. You know what love does? It waters the earth. People who are happy, they're like, man, I want the world to be happy. I want to pick up this trash off the floor. And I want to go teach poetry class to kids. I want to sing in front of a room. I want to share my gifts. I want to be happy around other people. I want to make my job better. I want my partner to be happier. That's what self-love does. In every room I walk into, I am loved. Because I love myself. And I will continue to teach you all how to do it. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode. And with everything in me, I mean this when I say that I hope all of your dreams come true. Have a beautiful day.